You know, for some, a birthday can be a good time to take stock of your life, maybe decide to take a risk or do something bold and new. When award-winning Kenyan writer Binyavanga Wainaina turned 43, he chose to celebrate by coming out. A couple of years ago, Wainaina released his memoir, One Day I Will Write About This Place. And this past weekend, he published a very honest, unpublished chapter from that book titled I'm a Homosexual Mom. He followed it up with a series of short films, We Must Free Our Imaginations, or as he called it on Twitter, What I Have to Say About Being Gay. Here's a little clip.
How do you want your child schooled? How do you want your child free to imagine? When you make your child fear things outside their window, things they can't see, yeah? You've trapped your child. You've just trapped your child to be unable to imagine, because you trapped your child into imagining fears.
As African countries are moving to further criminalize homosexuality, his honesty has earned him both criticism and praise. And Binyavanga Wainaina joins me now to talk more about it. Welcome.
Hi.
Let me start, if I could, by reading a little bit from your essay. You write this. I'm 29. It is 11 July 2000. I, Binyavanga Wainaina, quite honestly swear I have known I'm a homosexual since I was 5. I have never touched a man sexually. I have slept with 3 women in my life, 1 woman successfully, only once with her. It was amazing. But the next day, I was not able to. That kind of honesty, frankly, is, I think, arresting for the reader and very effective. And I wonder what brought you to be able to share with that kind of frankness.
I don't know. I guess if you're ready to share, you're ready to share. So I was ready to share. Or maybe it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I was ready to share.
Maybe both.
Maybe both.
The essay is not just about your coming out, but it's also about your relationship with both your mother and your father. And I wonder, they've both passed away by the time this essay was released. And I wonder if you feel as though you yourself have a better relationship with their memory now, having published this essay.
Yes and no. I mean, I think this essay wasn't those, oh my goodness, you are not a good parent to me kind of things at all. And my memories of my parents are fond. Most of my feeling is that in both my mother's case and especially in my father's case, you know, I mean, the last conversation I had before he died, he pretty much opened the door wide for me to bring it up. And sometimes I feel like your parents are hostage to you much more than you're hostage to them. And so the fear of sort of wounding them, for me, I think, was a big thing. But then this is the opportunity to test their hearts the way I didn't give myself the opportunity to test their hearts.
So you're also very active on social media. You have a wide audience of people that you write to and that respond to you. I'm sure there was an equal measure of both good and bad in people's responses. What reaction kind of stood out for you?
Oh, gosh. It's going to take a couple of years to try to. All I was just seeing was it was just very strange. Look, you know, there are phases of things. What happens is, of course, you have, there are people's friends of friends on Facebook and things that end up on my Facebook, and I'm not very good at doing these sorts of privacy settings and things like that. So, of course, like, it's always an opportunity to kind of troll crawl across the place, and I'm generally not very good at listening to troll crawlers, so I ignored that. But on Twitter, I think vast majority of the responses were positive on my timeline, but I have not been checking it obsessively. I haven't checked it at all today. But I got huge amounts of love from people, support. And I think the important thing, I think, for me was I'm interested in the audience who read what I posted. Because thinking about, I call them, you know, the glee speculators. They were like, oh my God, did you hear just, you know, that's not useful.
People who responded
without
having read.
From people who read it, there were amazing responses. I posted the chapter free for anybody to use. What had happened is, you know, I wrote a book, as you said, a memoir, One Day I'll Write About This Place. It was published in the US by Grey Wolf Press and, you know, received good reviews and so on and so forth. And while finishing it, I'd really kind of contemplated, you know, talking about being gay. And then I thought in that kind of sort of writerly way, oh my God, I don't think my language is ready or lyrical enough to start talking about, you know, that sort of thing. So I was finding reasons and excuses for a long time, but I think sometimes you're just ready. So I feel like I kind of did this because there's a lot going on in Nigeria with the new laws and so on and so forth. But really, in a certain way, by the time I was hitting that send button to, you know, my friends to put it up on platform, I felt this one almost successfully put together an honest pieces I've ever written. Oh, cool. So, you know, writer's vanities are strange things.
Well, you mentioned Nigeria, and obviously it's been in the news quite a bit with their new anti-gay laws. Gay men have been arrested there. Are you worried about possibly when you travel to Nigeria, what could happen?
That's not entirely clear to me. I mean, on one hand, I'm like, okay, it's not Eastern Europe. They're not going to be like photos of me on billboards. Say, when you see this man, arrest him. I don't know yet. I haven't planned that far. There wasn't a large strategy, but I go to Nigeria and teach workshop there every year, and, well, I satisfy all criteria in the new law of being somebody arrestable, so I don't know.
Why did you make the videos to accompany it? What was it that you wanted the videos to accomplish that the essay didn't?
I'm a writer and I'm an imaginative person, and I think I kind of had a feeling, having been in the media before, that the media kind of deals in sort of, you know, nice things but bullet points, you know. In the heart of gay homophobia darkness in Africa, Binyavanga writes a piece. Binyavanga, would you explain how homophobia in Africa works? And then you're like, oh gosh, now how do I do that in 17 seconds? So it was very important to me that first that these things, I didn't want this story published in the New Yorker or in some magazine abroad or anything else. I wanted to put it out for people to share. I wanted to generate a conversation among Africans. I wanted to put up a documentary the day before, just talk around the issues in a certain way. So it's a kind of like a little bit less our issue than, you know, sometimes get this sense that it's this thing of, my God, you Africans are very homophobic, we're going to go and report it to the West, that sort of thing. I didn't want that much of that. And I think that you know, it did provoke a healthy conversation and a huge amount of love and support. Like, I'll be answering DMs and emails and all kinds of things for months.
A DM being a direct message. I wonder what you would say to a young man in Africa who may be too frightened, especially by all the things that are going on there in Nigeria and other places, and some of the homophobia that he perhaps sees every day. What would you say to a young man struggling with his own sexuality?
Sending you all the love possible. There's love in this world. And that's the only thing I can say. Take good care of yourself. Trust yourself. Always live and work with trusted people. And love. And love. We love you very, very much. Love you very, very much.
Binyavanga Wainaina is the author of One Day I Will Write About This Place. His essay, I'm a Homosexual Mom, is published on various blogs. And you can catch his videos online as well. He joined us from the BBC's bureau in Nairobi, Kenya. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.